On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
And welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, it's been a couple weeks of just straight baseball coverage as, you know, Brian O'Connor leaves, Chris Pollard comes in. We got a press conference last week, but we're going to put a pause on all the baseball coverage right now. Even after Eric Becker announced that he was coming back, even after Aiden Harris announced he was coming back and all the guys that they got coming in, we're going to take a break from baseball because basketball summer workouts have started for UVA. The majority of the roster is on grounds already, going through these workouts right now with Ryan Odom and his staff. And here to talk about this roster that Ryan Odom has put together is our guy Cuts from the Corner. Cuts, thanks for coming back. I do want to mention real quick, you can check out Cuts' work over at cutsfromthecorner.com. He's got some great recent tracking of transfer profiles on Jakari White, Sam Lewis, and the new one is Devin Tillis that just dropped this morning, I believe. So, Cuts, how's it going, man?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me back, Preston. Happy to be here.
Awesome. And I know you got your work cut out for you trying to piece together this entire roster. This is probably the most heavy lifting you've had to do in one off season.
Yeah, normally the off season's a little where I get to catch my breath a little bit, but yeah, this season's not that. It's going to be a push, I think, throughout the whole summer to get all the pieces in, but I'm excited about it.
Well, I mentioned before, summer workouts underway. Players started up on June 16th, so we're about a week into it now. We've heard, a couple things, from the internal UVA media. Still haven't talked to Ryan Odom since his press conference, so eager to see what he has to say when he is made available again. But we've heard from a couple players as just workouts get underway, and I wanted to bring up a couple quotes. Jeff White from virginiasports.com talked to Elijah Gertrude, and if anyone has a good insight on what UVA basketball was before and what it is now, it's probably Elijah Gertrude, seeing as there's not many other guys that have played in both systems. But he said in the article that Gertrude is excited about playing in a more up-tempo system. Gertrude said, "That's music to my ears, being athletic. I like running and playing up and down." He also added, "It was a little weird hearing he wanted me to crash for rebounds. Haven't heard that in a while." Just some early feels coming out of these first couple, workouts with Ryan Odom. I mean, that's what we're clinging to right now.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll talk about Elijah Gertrude later, but I'm excited about him coming back. We've heard some really good things about the strength of his knee and his health. So that's just kind of a good feel good story. I'm going to be really excited to follow his progress this year. But yeah, I mean, that's what we've seen, when we've looked at, Odom systems in the past. It's getting up and down the court, shooting a lot of threes. It's crashing the boards. It's doing, a lot of those up-tempo things opportunistically. And then if you don't get them, running good offense. So that jives, with what we're expecting.
How, when you look at this roster overall, how much do you think it kind of lines up with how Ryan Odom has played traditionally at VCU, at Utah State, even going back to UMBC?
I think it lines up perfectly. I think you couldn't really have asked. I mean, I'm sure, the talent level, you can say over the years, where that goes and how we grow the program, certainly. But like in terms of play style and how the pieces fit together, you can tell that the roster was put together very intentionally, and all the pieces kind of check the boxes of what Odom typically likes to do. I think, if I'm Ryan Odom and I'm going into the season, we as fans are kind of, I think, early on hand-wringing some of the players that, we thought might come over from VCU. And then like every time, a player didn't do that, it turned out there was a potential upgrade sort of in the wings that he was looking to bring in and did. So, I'm excited about the roster construction. I think we've got, a level of talent that we haven't had in some of the more recent years, and they fit well with what he likes to do. So,
Yeah, it feels like there's been a lot of whiplash in this portal just from, oh, look over here, like there's these VCU guys, and then even going back to like Nick Davidson, he took a visit to grounds, and then like just kind of where the roster ended up. It's a lot of whiplash. And for the most part, most of these guys, I'm kind of looking through the list right now, did not visit UVA beforehand. So it was a kind of surprising portal and just kind of how this class came together. No one likes the term rebuild. It was pretty much a rebuild though, because there's only one, two, three guys, I guess, if you want to include Carter Lang, Des Roberts, and then Elijah Gertrude are the only guys coming back. So you did have to rebuild the roster, but we'll call it a retool to kind of get that middle ground, because I think there was a lot of improvements overall in the roster. So I guess grade wise, I'm leaning kind of towards, maybe an A minus, because I think with the amount of guys that left, the amount of work that they had to do, and then to be able to get, a Malik Thomas. Obviously we were waiting on that red shirt or that waiver to see if he would have that extra year of eligibility. To get a guy like Jakari White, who, kind of had left them out of his top five, and then all of a sudden he's at Virginia. Dallin Hall is another guy I'm really high on, and I think the international players, who we'll talk a lot about, I'm sure. I would give this probably an A minus, somewhere in that range. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I would say A minus, just because I think I just want to leave a little room for growth. But also, like, I do think, like, as we see the proof of concept, there's the potential to, go even higher in terms of the talent you bring in. It certainly could go the other way as well. But I love the approach, and I also loved kind of the strategy of it, right? Like, I mean, first, they locked down Chance again, which was really cool that they prioritized him, and then they kept Elijah. But like, there was that whole period, that final 4 week, where there was the dead period, and where reportedly they were hanging out at the Final Four and like kind of making these offers that players couldn't refuse, like the targeted players. And like doing that to kind of build the snowball, right? Where you get a couple guys to commit, and then that starts to build the momentum, and then you can really take the bigger swings at like the Malik Thomases and then some of these international players who I think kind of were really the icing on the cake and make me most, excited about how this has all come together.
All right, so our plan here today is to kind of go, maybe a minute two on each player, just kind of a quick breakdown and kind of how they fit into this roster's overall vision. And then at the end, we're going to do our early depth chart projections. There's 200 minutes in a basketball game. We're going to try to, narrow it down to see where we kind of see this lineup going, this rotation going early on, months and months away from the season. We'll have some revisionist history down the line, but for right now, we'll give our early depth chart projections, something similar that we did with football a couple of weeks ago with Greg Mendia from the Daily Progress. So we'll do that in a little bit, but let's start with the player breakdowns. And we'll start with Dallin Hall. I know he's not one that you've gotten to yet in your breakdowns. You're tracking a transfer series, but just heard him on a podcast recently, and he's one that, I talked to Evan Miakawa recently, and he's one that he thinks that the analytics are very high on. He's actually the highest rated transfer that Virginia has in this class. You look at the stats: 6.8 points per game last year, 4.2 assists per game, shot 35, a little over 35% from three. And that was kind of in a lesser role than he had had in previous years, but some really exciting things out of him. I think he's going to be a really good playmaker for this team, and kind of the straw that stirs the drinks, the stirs the drink, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really, really like Dallin Hall. I've seen the analytics on him. I think I would put a player like Malik Thomas as a little bit more important, but like overall, I think he's probably one of the most underrated players being brought in right now. I think there's a reason that Duke Miles decommitted after he committed, because I think Miles was, expecting to start, and I think it was pretty clear when Hall came in that he wouldn't. Hall started the year before last. He played about 29 minutes per game. This past year, he started the beginning of the season, and then they moved away from him after a slow start in the Big 12. But he still played 25 minutes per game, and they almost always had him in there at the end, like kind of in crunch time when the game was close. So they still certainly valued his leadership and playmaking ability. I think he's a great point guard. He's going to be great to lead the offense. really good passer, but he's also a really good shooter off the dribble, like off the bounce. And he's more athletic than you would
He's got some
expect.
bounce.
He does. Like, there's that clip going around, I think, that most people have seen now, that alley-oop against Iowa State, where he just kind of like gets up and throws it down. You're like, okay, all right, Dallin. So yeah, I mean, he's got some twitch too. I mean, I think he's a complete player, and he's older because I think he went on a mission there for a while, so he's an older player as well. So he's got some of that experience, but just kind of like strength and ability that comes with age as well. So that's a positive.
Yeah, no, I think he's kind of the perfect fit for what Ryan Odenkamp needs in this first year, a veteran guy that can kind of, set up all these, talented scorers that he's put around him. And there's a reason, later on we'll talk about it when we get to the breakdowns, but he's one of the higher minute guys I have on the team just because I think he's going to be pretty valuable out there. There is another point guard on the team, and that's Chance Mallory, the four-star point guard out of Charlottesville. He's ranked number 55 by 247. I'm massively high on Chance Mallory and his future in a Cavalier uniform. I've covered the kid since he was in eighth grade, so it's a cool moment just to kind of see him get to this level. But don't sleep on him. I'm very interested to see what he can do year one. Kind of playing behind Dallin Hall, but sky's the limit for this kid. I know he's only, listed at whatever 5'9", 5'10", whatever they want to list him at. He's a smaller guy, but he's tough, he's physical, for being smaller, and he's got range. And that's something that we haven't seen in a point guard in a while. He's gonna be a tough guy out there.
Chance is one of those players that I think you have to see play to really appreciate what he brings. I think UVA fans, we have a history with shorter point guards, and you may have different opinions on that, but Chance is a very different type of player. And one of the things when I was watching him that stood out to me was, how strong he is, like physically. He's really strong. I think there was games where he was in like the 20s in rebounds. He's like very athletic. But also, I mean, to the point of his shooting, his range comes very deep. Like he can launch from far out, and he strategically uses that to kind of stretch the defense and pull them away, so that he's shooting with that range, but then he's got the ball and he can kind of get behind you, and he has a lot of space to work. So that kind of really opens up a defense. And I think if we play to that, there's going to be a lot of benefit in having him out there, especially in the long term, but even in the short term. I heard some talk back when we were still under the Bennett regime, Sanchez regime, and there was some discussion around like potentially playing him off the ball. And I think you can do that, but I don't actually think that's where the majority of his strengths lie. I think, you really value in kind of that almost Trae Young type mold, where you have, or Steph Curry, where you have that, I mean, obviously a lighter version of that, but where you've got that type of range, and you can force the defense to react, and then you can kind of create for your team or make plays behind that as a result.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting just to see how they use him long term. And yeah, just to point out the physicality, this is a kid that just picked up football on the fly at St. Ann's Belfield down the road. And I was going to mention that, 20 plus rebound game. Like he'll get in there and get physical. So don't underestimate him just because of the size. Really excited to see what he does his first year.
Yeah,
All
I
right, you
think he'll play
got.
this year
Yeah,
for
for
sure.
sure. You got into some interesting debate with this next guy, North Dakota State transfer, Jakari White, just because Isaac Neely vacating that shooting guard position, going over to Louisville. Jakari White coming in, go through the stats real quick: 17 points per game, 4.3 rebounds per game, 2.3 assists, shot just a tick below 40% for three last year at 39.8%. Why do you like Jakari so much? I had him here on the podcast. He comes across really well. But what do you like about Jakari White?
Yeah, I mean, I love Jakari White's game. I think he's a complete player in so many ways. Like he shoots it really well. He shoots it not just off the move though. He shoots it off the bounce. He's got a good step back where he can kind of get into that three, so he can create for himself out there. He creates for others. He's got, pretty good quickness. I really like his body control. That's one thing I wrote about a lot when I did my piece on him, is like, he's really good both offensively and defensively with his body control, both like kind of navigating and keeping his balance and finishing some awkward plays, just using his footwork to create kind of advantages on players. Like there was a game I broke down where poor old Malachi Poindexter was guarding him and he just absolutely worked Malachi over. But he, you know, just like really, you know, great footwork, great kind of ball movement. And then on the defensive side, he's got great balance where he always seems to kind of find a way to get back in front of the player he's guarding, even like getting over screens or kind of awkwardly in transition. He's just like really good with his balance. So that was something that really stood out to me. But, you know, with Dakari, I think he really fits Odom's system well. And there's going to be a lot of natural comparisons to McNeely. And McNeely is, you know, truly an elite shooter. He's, you know, got Jakari by about 5 percentage points, generally a little less for their careers. But, you know, McNeely thrives more working off the ball, kind of coming off of ball screens, kind of working at space. He wasn't as strong at creating for himself. Kind of players would get under him sometimes and he could get there and get to his shot sometimes, but it was more of a struggle for him. And I think White kind of does all the things Odom's looking for a little bit better. So yeah, I mean that shooting is a important, you know, it's an elite factor that IMAC's going to bring to any team, and I think he fits really well with what Louisville's doing and is going to thrive there. But with Jakari, I think, you know, he's going to be running the break, he's going to be breaking guys down off the dribble, he's going to be hitting that step back three. You're not going to lose a lot with his shooting, and I think his defense is going to be better. So, you know, all in all, when you put that around all the other pieces, I think Jakari is a great fit.
I think overall we can say I think Jakari is a better fit for Ryan Odom's system. Isaac McNeely a better fit for Pat Kelsey and what he wants him to do there. I mean, I was watching, you know, when Virginia played Louisville last year, I was watching Rayne Smith and I was just like, man, imagine if Isaac McNeely was getting the looks that Rayne Smith had, and like that was what his job was. It's just to hunt threes like Rayne Smith. And I think he'll do a little bit more than Rayne Smith. Obviously, he's a better player, but it'll be interesting to see what he does there. But Jakari White, like you mentioned, just the ability to, you know, break guys down off the dribble, be a secondary ball handler in this offense. And I think he's got some ability defensively to kind of help out with that pressure that we've seen from some Ryan Odom teams.
Yeah, I think McNeely is going to have a great year. And so there's going to be some hand-wringing like, oh, look, you lost that. But like, to your point, you know, Odom's system isn't, I mean, it has elements of that, but it's not trying to do that whole off the ball kind of screen thing a ton. I mean, there's certainly it's there, but it's kind of looking more at that ball screen, get all your guards to kind of be able to create interchangeably. So, you know, I think that's another reason that Jakari is a great fit.
All right, it's time to talk about a guy that probably hasn't been talked about enough, and a guy that has come back into the conversation a little bit, and that's the one returning scholarship guy in Elijah Gertrude. Obviously, former four-star recruit, missed last season with a knee injury after that scooter accident that that me and him talked about. He's not riding scooters anymore, so we don't have to worry about that. But I had heard, you know, from talking to him and then talking to, you know, some of the other coaches on the team, talking to Kyle Guy, talking to Ron Sanchez, that they expected him to make a pretty full recovery and that he was already showing signs of being back to that explosive self. Well, we got to see that in the little highlight clip that we got to watch from Virginia's first summer workout. He came in and, you know, had a huge dunk off a putback and, you know, he looks every bit the athlete, and that's what we've heard, you know, recently. I'm very high on Elijah Gertrude, always have been, and I think that, you know, we're seeing that, you know, this guy is still the athlete that he was. And I think he, out of all the players off of last year's roster, I always thought Elijah Gertrude was probably the best fit for Ryan Odom coming in.
Absolutely. And if that's true, which it sounds like it is, I mean, that is really exciting. I was listening to the Down Hall interview the other day, and he first, when he talked about all the players, and the first thing he mentioned was Elijah's athleticism, which means he's showing that athleticism now, right? Because Down wouldn't have seen it before. So that's really cool. I've also heard that he worked on his ball handling a lot in the offseason, so he's gotten a lot better there, and he's worked on his shooting. Like Paul also mentioned that he was a great shooter. You know, 2 years ago, he had a decent mid-range pull-up, but he wasn't a great shooter, right? So if that's improved, you know, there's a lot of excitement to be had there. I think Gertrude's going to play more than people are expecting because you just kind of forget about a player after an injury sometimes, and you kind of don't know how they're going to come back. You know, I think I've heard there's a possibility he might even get a few point guard minutes in there mixed in, which would be cool to see. But where I think he fits on this team is certainly his explosiveness and transition. But when I look at all the guards, you know, there are guards who are good defensively, but I don't think outside of Elijah, there's the potential to have that one like lockdown defender who's going to just kind of tie up the other team's best scorer on the perimeter. And if Elijah's really gotten that athleticism back, I think that's his potential to kind of grab minutes on this team and have a pretty significant role. So that's exciting for him. And Odin plays a lot of guys anyway, so I think he was going to be in the mix as long as he was healthy, because the guard rotation kind of, you know, allows for it based on who's on the roster. But yeah, I'm really excited about what he's going to bring, especially getting out and run. I think when we see him kind of fully tapped into some of those explosive plays, it's going to ignite the JPJ.
I mean, just 2 years ago, just seeing it, getting to see some of those glimpses. I mean, there's that crazy layup that he had at the end of the Miami game, just showed off some of that athleticism. And yeah, talking to Kyle Guy before he left, obviously to go to Nevada, he said the one guy just banging down his door, blowing him up on his phone to get in the gym and work out was Elijah Gertrude. You know, and that was a lot of shooting, a lot of that ball handling that you talked about. So that's something that he's definitely, you know, there's only so much that you can do when you're going through this rehab. But that was definitely a lot of the stuff that he was working on, you know, when he was able to get back out on the court. And now it looks like he's, you know, being able to go through some 5-on-5 from, you know, some of the clips that we've seen. So really excited about Elijah Gertrude. I think, you know, people are going to remember, you know, kind of some of the promise that he showed early on, getting to see him back on the court this year. All right, the big name, the highlight name of the transfer portal was Malik Thomas. Obviously, he led the WCC in scoring last year at 19.9 points per game. Interesting hearing from Dallin Hall. He's also come in and kind of been the natural leader on this team. You know, Hall and Thomas are probably the two guys I'm targeting as my highest minutes guys on this team. You know, they went out and they were looking for that number one score, and I think they got it with Malik Thomas. Just the, you know, the diversity of how he can score as well. He can get to the rim, he can, you know, hit threes and do that off the dribble. You know, in that conversation with Evan Miakawa, he said his you know, dribble pull up game in the mid range is a little less efficient, but he takes so many of them that might be why it's just a high volume of them. Mm-hmm. But really excited to see Malik Thomas.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think he's the most, probably the highest impact transfer. I mean, I think you'd dispute and argue some of the others, especially on the international player side, but he's just a wired scorer, man. I mean, he can fill it up from, you know, three levels, right? He can hit it from outside off the bounce, coming off of screens. He can create for himself in the mid range. He's got a nice kind of like delayed Euro step type move that helps him finish around the rim. Yeah, I mean, he's going to score a lot. And, you know, I think he's going to take some of the pressure off the rest of the team too, because I think we have a lot of players who can contribute offensively and score. But like, when you have a player that capable of being like a ball dominant scorer, you know, you're going to kind of draw in the defense and create more open looks for your teammates. I think he's a more underrated passer than people discuss. You know, I heard your conversation with Evan. I love Evan. But he was saying, you know, he's basically just an offensive, you know, scoring player. And, you know, I think he's a better passer than, you know, he's being credited for. Maybe he didn't have as many options to go to in San Francisco than he will here. So I think there'll be a little bit of facilitation on his end as well. But I agree. I think he can play the two or the three for us. I think he's going to play some two as well alongside Sam Lewis. And yeah, he's exciting. He's going to get a lot of buckets for us. So excited to see it.
Yeah, we talked last year a little bit about when Isaac McNeely was kind of shoehorned into that number one position for Virginia, just how it would have been great if he could have slid down a couple rungs. Well, now you've got that number one guy in Malik Thomas. That's why they went out and got him. So that kind of that lets a Jakari White kind of slide down that number two, or, you know, we'll talk about him a little bit later, but Tyce DeRitter can kind of slide in, be that more, you know, complimentary guy to Malik Thomas. When you have that number one, everything else just kind of falls into place around him. First guy that actually committed out of the transfer portal was Sam Lewis from Toledo. A lot of people kind of overlook him a little bit. He averaged 16 points a game, 4.7 rebounds, and shot 44.4% from three. I have him as, you know, a guy that's probably going to get a lot more minutes than people think, coming off the bench probably.
Yeah, Lewis is one of those interesting players because Merrimack was really struggled defensively. So it was interesting to see because, it, you know, like when I wrote my piece on him, it was like kind of this offensive defensive thing where like when he wanted to defend and he was locked in and he was like going for it, he was actually a pretty strong defender. But like there was kind of some of these times where, you know, there were some of these mental lapses or just kind of like not really, you know, aware of some of the cutters or kind of checked out. It kind of was like, I think that was more of a Merrimack cultural thing. So I think coming here, that's something that'll be coached up. You know, I think on the offensive side, I mean, he's just such a, he's a physically gifted and athletic player, which I think is kind of an exciting element of his game. Like one of the things I wrote about, because everyone I think keys into his catch and shoot ability. He's really good at kind of knocking down that catch and shoot three. I think he's like, you know, top 199, 100%, you know, in the country at the kind of catch and shoot set threes, which was really efficient. But like in transition, he's also really effective. Like he's good at kind of getting that head of steam and kind of maneuvering around and kind of striding and stretching the ball out and finishing. You know, he pushes it up the floor pretty well, which fits in really well with what Odom's trying to do. He's, you know, good outlet passer. So I think between his ability to get up and down the floor and then fill it up on the outside, he's going to be a valuable piece. And if we can kind of get him to, as Tony Bennett used to say, be continuous on the defensive side, right? Then I think he's going to potentially get a lot more minutes. You know, I would say he's not going to create you quite as many looks off of the bounce. I mean, he can do that some, but that's not really the strength of his game. He's not really going to be, you know, shooting a lot of threes off the dribble, at least if he's sort of replicating what he did last year. He's kind of more of that guy who in Odom's system kind of might be more stationed in the corner to kind of capitalize on what's created by others and then get out and run. I think that's kind of the role he'll fill on this team, but I expect him to be a solid bench contributor. And, you know, if he can ratchet that defense up, he could really grab more time than people think.
And the exciting thing about him is he has multiple years, unlike some of these other guys that we're talking about, you know, so he has theoretically time to grow. And when I look at the, you know, kind of the data around mid-major players making that jump up, you know, it's guys that have multiple years in a system. I'm not comparing the two, but, you know, Walter Clayton, you saw him kind of continue to rise up. Even Will Richard, that's probably a better comp on Florida's team last year. You know, that's a guy that got better after transferring from Belmont. So a guy that had multiple years in the system. Martin Carrere, speaking of a guy with multiple years in the system, you know, he was at VCU last year, redshirted. I'm not sure how much to expect of him this year. You know, he's probably still a long-term development guy, but definitely someone that you could see, you know, playing. I'm thinking back to like those Igor Milicic minutes we saw early in the season a few years ago, where you kind of got to see a little bit of flashes in some of those early non-conference games. But still kind of an unknown prospect in kind of what UVA is getting in him.
Yeah, he's probably the player I'm least familiar with on the roster. I mean, I've seen some of his tape from before, his international tape. You know, I think to his benefit, he's already, you know, practiced a year under Odom's system, so he knows what to expect. You know, he's, you know, we talk about like Elijah being last year and kind of being in that UVA culture. Well, Carrere's, you know, been with Odom for a full year, so he's got a chance to practice that. He knows what it looks like. He's a very good shooter. You know, I think it looked to me like he could probably stand to grow on the strength side. You know, I didn't see a ton of quickness there as well. So, you know, I can't say exactly what a defender he would be at this level. I mean, I know he's like 6'8", so he's got some length to him. Yeah. I would imagine that if we do see someone kind of, you know, take a small amount of minutes at that power forward position, I mean, you could do something crazy like go small ball with Sam Lewis. But, you know, I would see that he could probably get a couple minutes here or there just to kind of like, you know, fill that gap if there's foul trouble or something along those lines. But yeah, I wouldn't expect to see him on the floor a ton this year.
One guy that's kind of spanned the kind of, you know, opinions is Devin Tillis. You know, some people are calling him, you know, the most underrated player in the class. Some people are like, I don't know if he can hang. He's the most recent guy you did in your tracking and transfer series. But real quick, his stats, 13.7 points per game, 7.8 rebounds, 39.5% from three last year. Played some really good minutes for that UC Irvine team last year. Obviously, Virginia fans were waiting for a big. He is a big, but not big, like 6'6", 6'7", in that range. What do you think of Devin Tillis' game? I've heard a lot of good things about him just as a veteran presence on this team, and so I think he's going to get a lot of minutes.
I think he's going to be the most polarizing player. I mean, he already seems to be in terms of the conversation, but I think he will when he's playing. I think he's one of those where, and I think we've seen some of this in recent years too, but like where he's got a lot of skill and like game savvy and talent, but then on the other end, he doesn't really have much athleticism. Like he's first of all not very tall or long, but he also doesn't appear to have a great vertical leap. He's not very quick on his like change of direction or acceleration. So like on the defensive end especially, I think that's gonna be an issue. I think he does best on defense when he's paired with like a shot blocking center. They did that a lot at UC Irvine. They had, a 7-1 center from Germany who kind of they basically all of their defensive sets, they kind of kept him under the rim and just let him kind of stay at home and help block shots. We haven't talked about either yet, but we should have two centers who are both very capable and good at that, but also are even more mobile than Luchten was. So who's the center? I think there's the potential to sort of help him out there. On the offensive end, he's got what I would kind of call like, and defensive end too, kind of like old man game, if you've ever played pickup, where like, someone might be a little less athletically gifted, but they can still find a way to kind of, make a positive impact on the game just through their skill and kind of through their toughness and just kind of their way they analyze the game. But he's a really good outside shooter. I mean, he shot almost 40% from three. He's got deep range. You can shoot from the logo if he's hot. One of the things I noticed is he's like a really good passer. He gets the ball in the mid post a lot and he manipulates the defense and he finds open players. He always seems to know kind of where to go with the ball to kind of put his teammates in an effective position. But there is an element of his game where he plays out of that mid post and like tries to back players down and kind of uses post moves. And I noticed that that can be very effective if he gets like a switch on a guard or if he's playing a team with kind of a less athletic power forward. But there starts to be some diminishing returns on that when he plays like length and athleticism that he might see at this level. I think with Tillis, it's going to be, how much is that offense coming into play and helping, what we're doing overall, versus how much can you kind of mask and hide and support him on the defensive side. But I do think, he's a great outlet passer. He's good at kind of, he'll bring the ball up the court after a miss if, if he needs to. He'd get all of his teammates involved. So I think on the offensive end, he fits really well in what Odom's trying to do. And they don't need to, post him up a ton. They've got a lot of options. On the defensive end, it still fits well with our centers, but like I think that's what's gonna reduce his minutes, if anything, is kind of, ideally you have someone who can do all these things and also is a plus defender, right?
Well, you say he looks good next to a German center, so
Yeah,
that's a
there you
good
go.
sign.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, he definitely has that like YMCA game. I just think he's like that quintessential glue guy that, so many good teams need. That can kind of do a little bit of everything. You're not relying on him too much offensively, but he can, he'll still stretch the floor for you, and he can get some buckets in some unconventional ways. Good cutter. So I think that that'll be a good piece for
Yeah.
Virginia.
That's a great point. Like if he can be a glue guy for us, I think it'll be perfect. I think at UC Irvine, sometimes he was the focal point, right? They would revolve the offense around him in that mid post. And I think that can be effective at times, but I don't think that's going to be as efficient. I think if he can be that kind of connector piece and that's the role he embraces, then I think it'll go really well,
And
at
that
least
could
on
be
the
a
offensive side.
Yeah, that could be a wrinkle that they throw in from time to time, but it's not something that their like go-to offense is.
Right.
Looking at another freshman, Silas Barksdale, coming in, 4-star, former VCU commit, kind of long, lanky, 6'8", kind of hoppy, big, kind of one of those energy guys. I think he'll be good down the line, but again, another guy that, like Carrere, I'm not expecting to see a ton of time for because just of how deep the front court is right now. But anything that sticks out about Barksdale.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard since he's been on grounds, he's really more like a 6'8", 6'9", so the length is real. I've also heard his conditioning went really good from when he was earlier recruited till more recently. So he's, you know, initially they had, when he first committed to VCU, they had viewed him more as like a center role, like a, you know, smaller ball center role. And now, you know, he's more of that true, you know, power forward kind of stretch run, get up and down the floor. You know, I think the athleticism's there, the length is there, the quickness is going to be there to do all the things defensively you'll want him to do down the road. I think the offensive game is where, you know, he probably has room to grow the most, especially, you know, his outside shot. I don't think was a strength of his game coming in, although I've heard he's kind of already working on that. So yeah, I mean, I think great developmental piece. I think a player who fits well into what we do, especially if he expands his outside game. He's supposed to be a very good passer, kind of that savvy type of player as well. But I don't expect him to play much this year. I wouldn't even be surprised if everyone might cringe if he redshirts. We'll see. I don't know if that'll be relevant even after some of this legislation. Maybe it won't be. Maybe everyone will just, you know, get 5 years. But you know, I don't expect him to play a ton. Like I could see him actually following that career route last year at BCU.
Yeah, we'll see what he kind of comes in and what the situation is, but last we'll skip right here to the last guy that's actually on grounds, because some of these international guys have not gotten there yet. They're not actually part of workouts at this time. So Uganna Onyensu, transfer from Kansas State. I'm gonna go back a year just to give him the benefit of the doubt though, and talk about his stats his last season at Kentucky, where he averaged 3.6 points, 4.8 rebounds, 2.8 blocks at Kentucky that last year before transferring to Kansas State last year. Didn't play a lot last year for the Wildcats. What do you think about him? I know obviously, you know, there are other bigs, so you know his playing time might be limited, but just as a big guy that can kind of be, you know, a rim threat and also, you know, protect the rim.
I think he'll be the true backup center, actually. I think he will, and I think he'll get more minutes than we expect. You know, Odom tends to like to play two centers in that center role because, like, when you look at Odom's system, the center role is different than the other four roles, especially, well, both ways. Like on defense, they tend to like to sag that center, play drop coverage, and protect the rim. And then on offense, they use him as a ball screener, a roller, kind of hangs out around the rim as a finisher. To collect offensive rebounds, et cetera. So like that, Onyenso fits perfectly into that role. And I think he's, aside from Grunlow, who we'll talk about, is the best person on the roster to do those things. He's very athletic. He's very mobile. You know, he can dunk anything. He's going to catch a lob. He's going to be dangerous. He can, you know, collect offensive rebounds. His offensive game itself, isn't the most polished. You know, I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt, and he played a lot more at Kentucky, which is a more prestigious program than Kansas State. I think Kansas State, you know, there were some, you know, if I was writing a cut to the corner for Kansas State, I think I would have some things to say about last season.
It was not a great year
So
for Jerome Tang.
yeah, no. So I mean, I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt there. You know, I think he's also really good in transition. He runs really well, and he's very mobile. So that's going to help with how we like to play, but that's also going to help with that rim protection and supporting someone like a Devin Tillis, like we just talked about. But even, you know, all your good defenders, you know, your guards, if they're letting people by, he's going to be in there to help clean that up. So, you know, I do think we have a better center coming and who will play more, but I think Onyenso is going to be a very, very capable backup big in that area. And I think there will be times where his defensive presence is really felt and he can help, you know, positively swing a game.
Well, let's get to that other center now. And Johan Grunlow coming over from Germany, he averaged 8.5 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, and almost 2 blocks a game in the German Bundesliga, one of the, I guess, you know, a great league, but a pretty good league out there in Europe. He was projected as a possible second round pick in this year's NBA draft. Now he's going to come to Virginia, and you know, we'll see how long he sticks around. But obviously, a guy that can protect the rim, but also some, you know, beginnings of what looks like ability to stretch the court from three. I think he hit over 35% of his shots from three. Just what do you like about Grunlow? Obviously, he was the big first international name to come in.
Grunlow is, I think Grunlow and De Ridder, who we'll talk about, both raised the ceiling of the team significantly. I mean, he is he's more polished than you'd think. He's really you know, I was really impressed with his ability to step outside the arc and shoot it. Not only shoot it, but it's not like he needed time to get into that shot. Like he would shoot it pretty quickly. and fluidly and naturally. So when he's on the floor, you're going to have the ability to have like a true five out system where anyone's able to shoot it from out there. But you don't lose his size and ability to scream and ability to finish as a rim runner. And you don't lose the rim protection inside that you often lose when you go five out, as you're typically more in that small ball mode. You don't have to be that with Grenlow. So he also likes running the floor. He's really active on the glass in both ways, offensive glass and defensive glass. But he's, you know, he's got some finish on the inside. He's really good catching the ball. He can pass it. I mean, he has room to grow, which I think should be scary for the competition, but he's a very polished player for his age. I think he's going to give you very similar rim protection that Onyenso will, very mobile on that end as well, will also support your other players there. So, I think if anything, he might be surprised at the physicality in college. You know, I know he's used to playing in pros, and I saw an interview where we talked about, like, you know, you're playing against grown men and the physicality there, but I think the style of play at college is a little different, and he's going to kind of, you know, need to adjust to that maybe, but I think he's already had some experience playing against those type of players. So I don't think that adjustment or learning curve will be steep. I think he'll just have to kind of figure out what he can get away with and what he can't. I'm excited about him.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be shocking for him, the physicality, kind of looking around the league right now. Some of the other top teams, like, you know, Louisville is not a very big team. NC State is not a big team at all. Mm-hmm. Duke has some size as always, and North Carolina has some size with, you know, Henry Vassar coming over. So it'll be interesting to see when he gets to those types of matchups what it looks like. But and obviously Clemson, you know, they've got some big guys in the offseason. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how he goes up against that. All right. Last guy on the roster, apologies, Carter Lang and Des Roberts, more known quantities. So we're just kind of going over them here. But Tyce DeRitter, still no official confirmation on DeRitter. I know a lot's being held up with the NCAA and just kind of the eligibility, and not as much about is he eligible or not, but more about the number of years that he's going to be allowed to play is what it seems like at this point. I know there's also, I heard Mike Young from Virginia Tech talk about, you know, visa issues for his players. So I'm sure that plays a part in it for, some of these guys coming over from the international area, how much harder and more, critical they look at visas now these days. But DeRitter, big time talent, 9 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, 39% from three in the Spanish league last year, which is the second best league in the world behind the NBA. Mm-hmm. So it's a very competitive league, and he's done very well there. He's done great stuff for the Belgium national team as well. I'm unsure what are we going with on the height here? Cause I see 6'6", I see 6'8". Somewhere in the middle of that,
I think he's closer to 6'8". I mean, there's that picture of him standing next to Justin Anderson, where they exchanged jerseys, and I mean, I think he's got a good 3 inches there. I would say closer to that.
So, what do you think of DeRitter's game overall? I know some people are like, "Oh, this is a nice piece if we can get it," but you think he's a little bit more than that?
Yeah, I think DeRitter, I'm optimistic about our ability to sign him. I mean, everything sounds pretty positive, kind of, more of a, it'll get there. You just kind of have to be patient. But, I do think it's higher stakes than I think many are thinking. Like, prior to the rumors about DeRitter coming on board, I think the general consensus was the roster was pretty well built out. You know, you maybe add a piece of there, but we're in pretty good shape. But I think DeRitter not only himself is talented enough to really raise the ceiling on this team, but I think, if you don't get him, now you have kind of a gap there at the four that you're kind of having to play around that's a weakness. Whereas if you get him, now you've got a starting five that's strong throughout and then a really quality bench behind him as well. DeRitter, he's a really polished, I mean, he's a professional, right? In a way, which is weird to say coming to the collegiate level, but he does all those things we talked about with Tillis. I mean, he shoots the ball incredibly well. He facilitates, but he's more athletic. He's taller. He's quicker. He's much better at finishing. He's like a bully at times. I mean, he's really strong. He'll just kind of like out physical you and then kind of run down the court and just dunk it. I mean, he's a strong player with a lot of skill. And then on the defensive side, He's a good shot blocker. He's got that verticality. He's got that physicalness around the rim to he won't need to rely on these centers to kind of help him out. He'll be helping them out, and it'll be kind of a cohesive backcourt if he's in there. So I think Theis deRidder is not just like a nice to have. It's one of those things where if you get him, the ceiling of your team and your season has increased significantly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Versatile guy, can do a couple different things for you. I think he could be your maybe second leading scorer if, things come in, he's, doing well. And that kind of would, mean like Malik Thomas, Theis deRidder, and Jakari White, kind of that three-headed scoring machine right there. That's a pretty balanced scoring load right there between the three of those guys. All right, let's take a quick break. We went over all the players. We're going to come back and do our early depth chart projections coming up after the break here on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. I'm joined by Cuts from the Corner. Again, catch his stuff at cutsfromthecorner.com. Some of the latest profiles that he's done, the latest one on Devin Tillis. But right now, this is something I did for football a couple weeks ago, but I want to do it for basketball now. I was trying to wait till they officially announced the roster because you're like, how can you put a depth chart together when, you look at the UVA basketball roster online and it says no players are found for this season? Well, we're going to do it anyway because they're on grounds. We've seen pictures, we've seen videos, they're there. So we had that. But I'm gonna, real quick, before we get into what we put for our projected rotations and stuff, go over some of Ryan Odom's history as far as, kind of how he's done rotations in the past. Not a ton of guys are playing heavy minutes for him. Last season at VCU, only had one player, and that was Max Scholga, the conference player of the year, playing 30 plus minutes per game. Traditionally, it's been one or two guys at Utah State. In his last year there, he had four guys playing that much, but it was kind of a smaller rotation for Ryan Odom standards. Typically, the rotation's between 9 to 10 guys, somewhere in that ballpark. At VCU, his first year, he had 10 guys. Last year was more like 9 guys. I think you could expect kind of the same things as we get to Virginia. And only one player in those past 4 years has played more than 35 minutes, which we've saw a lot of during the Tony Bennett era, because you think back to Keay Clark and Reese Beekman, Isaac McNealy last year, but the amount of minutes he played, there's usually a UVA guy towards the top of those minutes played lists. I'll go first, Cuts, and then I'll give you the rebuttal option. But here's my starting lineup and kind of the rotation. Remember, you get 200 minutes, so it's all going to add up. I kept getting 210 minutes last night, so I had to cut some things. But at point guard, Dallin Hall, who I got as one of two guys playing 30 minutes per game in this lineup. At shooting guard, Jakari White, around 25 minutes. Malik Thomas, the second guy that I have around 30 minutes. Theis deRidder, 25 minutes. Johan Grunloe, 20 minutes. That's the starting lineup right there. And then Chance Mallory, around 10 minutes per game. Elijah Gertrude, 15 minutes. Sam Lewis, 15 minutes. Devin Tillis, I think, could play a little bit more off the bench, around 20 minutes. And then I got Yigano Onyensu around 10 minutes. I kept it in increments of five because I can't get into like 38 and 34 or, 20. That's too much math for me. I'm a very simple guy, as I was putting this rotation together. But that's what I have. 10-man rotation. I just don't see how you could cut any of these guys really from the rotation. I mean, maybe you could lessen some minutes here and there, but I just think that it's a very deep roster. So you're probably gonna go with 10 guys. And that's, something Ryan Odom's comfortable doing. So I'll let you go with your rebuttal, and we can kind of talk a little bit about some of these.
Yeah, I mean, there's not, it's funny, there's not a ton to rebut. I mean, especially if you're rounding to 5 minutes, like our lists are very similar. I think I completely agree with you. There's going to be a 10-man rotation. You know, under Bennett, you might have started out that way, but you almost always got down to eight, sometimes even seven guys. That's not going to happen here. You're gonna have the full 10 guys, and that comes from just the tempo at which they play and the style of play. You know, you want to have that intensity and ability to run the whole game. I had Dallin Hall as my starter as well, point guard. I had him at 26 minutes, which, if you know, we're rounding, would be down at 25. I think, you know, Chance is going to play some of that, but I also think we're going to see Gertrude play a couple of minutes here and there in that role. So we're going to see that. If you know, I could see him being up closer to 30, but I think 26 is realistic because, you know, I think you could even see Jakari at the point occasionally. Like, they don't have to have down on the floor, and I think there'll be some time, so they want to play around with the matchups.
That's fair.
Chance, I also had it 10 minutes, so we were right aligned with there. I think he'll get some backup minutes at the point. You know, I think there'll be some games if he's, you know, cooking where he plays more. But I think you'll see him at the point. I don't think you'll see him off the ball much, and I think that'll be for the best. Gertrude, I had at 13 minutes. So if we're rounding, similar to where you had him, I think that'll be closer, you know, higher than some are expecting. You know, if anything, I would love to see him get even higher because I think that means he's doing a lot of the things we talked about earlier. But you know, if his handle is really improved and his shot is even a little bit better, his athleticism is going to go a long way on this team, and that sort of sustained aggression on defense that Odom likes to employ is going to be right in his wheelhouse. So I think he offers something there that the other guards don't necessarily. I have Jakari at 23 minutes, and I really like Jakari, but you know, it is hard to find minutes for all these players. I had him at 23. I do think he'll be the starter at shooting guard. I put Thomas as the starter at small forward at 33 minutes. I think he's by far and away my highest minute getter. You're just going to want that offensive presence on the floor most of the time. He's still a good defender. I think, you know, most of the time he'll play at three with those other four guards we mentioned, one through two, but I think there will also be times where he jumps up to the two and you have Sam Lewis playing at the three. So there's some, you know, flexibility in how you play Thomas. He's got a lot of ability to kind of plug him in anywhere, one through three, and be successful, I think. Sam Lewis, I had at 15 also. I think that's, you know, a good number for him coming off the bench, kind of filling those backup small forward minutes. Where I think you could see him play more is if he does kind of step up that defensive side of the game. I think his ability to defend the small forward with a little more length and size and physicality might come into play. So you'll see him get some more minutes in those matchups. I think our biggest discrepancy is probably Tillis. I had him down at 14 minutes.
I figure that's,
You know, and I don't, I, I'm, this is probably more meat what I would like to see than what will happen. We'll see. But I have him really as a true kind of one and one with DeRitter, and I think we're just going to want DeRitter more. You know, I had DeRitter at 26 minutes. So kind of that's the full 40 between the two of them. You know, and I, you know, I don't think we need him over 30 just because I think Tillis will be kind of an adequate backup who provides some slightly different things in some ways. But you know, again, with the amount of running, I think, you know, DeRitter gets up and down the floor, so you're going to need to spell him some. So then I had Grenlo at 25 and Oyunso at 15. So Grenlo is the other starter. So my starters are also Hall, Jakari, Thomas, DeRitter, and Grenlo.
Yeah, I'm interested with the front court situation because there's not a clear like small ball lineup with this team. Like you're talking about maybe DeRitter or Tillis kind of nominally playing the five. And I feel like they might experiment a little bit. I don't know, Odom's history with it, but I look around the ACC this year and like we talked about some of the bigs in the conference, but like I look at NC State's team, like they have one big man on the roster right now in Vin Allen Lubin. Like so that's a team that's gonna kind of get out and run. So maybe you want to go a little bit smaller. Maybe it's something you experiment. I also think maybe a four guard lineup is something they try from here and there. So I'm really interested to see kind of where Odom goes with his rotations. I was trying to do like the minute by minute, like all right, this guy goes out, this guy goes in. Here are the lineups in these different times. It was a very rough sketch, so I'm not going to talk about it too much more on here. But yeah, I'm interested interested to see kind of what are some of the matchups, who are some of the guys they like playing together. I really like, maybe moving Malik Thomas up one and putting Sam Lewis in the game, with a point guard, and just to get both of those guys out there, a little bit bigger on the perimeter. So there's a lot of different maturations that you can kind of go through here, but I mean, we're not that far off from each other. I think
No, it's
10,
very similar.
yeah, 10 man rotation. There's not going to be anyone playing heavy minutes outside of maybe Malik Thomas. So yeah, I think pretty similar overall.
Yeah, and I, to your point about playing small ball, I think it's interesting. Like under Coach Bennett, I would say, oh, they're absolutely going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they will. Odom, I think last year almost always tried to have one of his two centers in the game. I think that role is very specific, so I wouldn't be surprised if they mostly went with Grenlo and or an Nyonso together, or one of the two of them. There could be some matchup specific things that where they do go away from that, and I could see
Yeah.
that. But I think in most situations they wouldn't. The other thing is, playing four guards. I would agree with that normally, but then when you look at the roster composition, I don't really see necessarily why. Like because
You
you're
would have to
not losing,
take, yeah, DeRitter or Tillis off, yeah.
and you're not losing shooting with either of them. If you wanted a little more quickness, but I think DeRitter is going to be able to defend a lot of those guys there. So, maybe in some really extreme, situations where the other team is, playing four guards and that fourth guard is just like really quick and we can't shuffle our team around to guard them. But I can't imagine a situation where the other team has got four guards that are all going to kind of give DeRitter trouble, depending on how you match it up. So, maybe it happens, but for the most part, I think he's good enough there that you don't really need to try some of those other things out. So we'll see.
Look, I'm here for all variables next season, whatever happens. The one I will say that I talked to some people and kind of maybe changed a little bit was I had Sam Lewis a little higher minutes wise, but then and I was like, but I really want Gertrude to be around that 15 minute mark, somewhere around there. So I had to take Lewis minutes out to put Gertrude minutes in there, just because I'm so high on Gertrude. I know some people I talked to early in the offseason didn't have him in the rotation at all, and I'm like, well, that's a mistake. Like, I think he's going to be pretty healthy, and if he's healthy, like, he is a player that you don't really have on this roster outside of what he's able to provide. So that's why I had to get him up to around 15 minutes.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, I always think of it too in terms of like, yeah, exactly what you said. What skill set's lacking, right? And does
Yeah.
someone on the bench bring that? And are they like an answer to a question that an opponent could pose? And Gertrude is that. I mean, I think he's going to be that defensive piece. And in transition, I think he's going to be potentially our most effective guard. I mean, like we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of great guards at that, so maybe not. But in terms of just his pure speed to get up and down the floor and like finish at the rim, I mean, it's going to be hard to keep up with him doing that, especially with the system and the way that we're going to play. So I'm excited to see it, but I agree. I think he's going to get, at least 10, but in that 10 to 15 range.
We're on the same page now. I think last year before the season, we were kind of on the same page, but that went all over the place. Hopefully not as crazy as that. And hopefully also, knock on wood for some good health this year as well. So we'll see kind of how this lineup goes, but I think it's a good start. Cuts, thanks for coming on today and kind of going player by player and, giving breaking your normal trend and going a little early on trying to figure out this depth chart. But thanks again, man.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me anytime.
All right, that'll do it for Who's On Podcast this week. We will be back next week with more. We'll see you then.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.